Wishing you a ripper, Chrissy, Juliana, Jeff, and all the listeners of Into the Fold from Australia, Santa Botkin. Many good wishes for the holiday season. May the year ahead be full of joy, season 2 casting announcements, and a bajillion new episodes of our favourite show. Sending you my best wishes for a fabulous festive season from the little palace down under. See you in the fold!
And welcome to Into the Fold, a show where two best friends share their love of Leigh Bardugo's Grishaverse chapter by chapter. I'm Jeff.
And I'm... Hold on.
Oh, good Lord. What is happening? Oh my God, why did you do this?
You can't see it. This camera is really sh- on this old laptop.
Oh my God.
Well, you can't really see it, but I did my eyebrows. Thank you very
you
much.
Did the
I
have hat.
My- you did I'm wearing the hat my winter jacket inside, too.
Oh my God. Dude. Like,
hello, you... it is me, Mal. I came to...
look at your eyebrows.
Do you like my eyebrows?
Actually, yeah, they kind of work.
They're very big. They're like
very
huge.
Good. I like it. And you've got the eagle on the hat. Nice detail. The Lansov eagle on the hat. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I am here today to say that I am Mal Ortsov, however you pronounce his last name. And I am here to say that I am the dumbest. I am the dumbest of the dumb.
Oh my God. This is why you did this. You didn't do this for me. You did this because you wanted to do this weird performance piece that only I can see called Mal is the Dumbest. That's what you're doing.
I did it because I wanted to do his eyebrows. That's actually why I did it, because these eyebrows are absolutely huge and ridiculous.
Wow. So for anybody who's wondering what...
I'll take a picture later.
Yeah, for anybody who's wondering what is going on right now with our show, normally we would start off with some news, maybe a little light chit-chat, but in honor of the winter fete that we are throwing today, Juliana decided to get dressed up in cosplay and refused to turn her camera on until we had already started recording so that it would have maximum impact.
Yes, I'll send you a better picture, Jeff. This camera on this old laptop is absolute crapola. This is better.
That's okay. If this is my Christmas present from you, then this is the best Christmas present that I have gotten so far this year.
Oh, well, we're just getting started. Don't worry, I have a few other things that I think you're really going to enjoy.
Oh. If you started with this, like, what else could there be?
This is the warm-up.
Oh, okay. See, now I have fear and trembling, but in a good way.
Yeah. Well, listeners, we will post a picture of me as Mal to our Instagram and our Twitter, so that way you can take in these eyebrows in their full bushy goodness as I drew them on my face.
It's like Dan Levy.
They're huge. I had a unibrow. No.
You don't know who Dan Levy is?
No.
He's Eugene Levy. Well, I guess I could have said Eugene Levy also. Eugene Levy is a very popular actor, and his son Dan has also become especially popular. I don't know how much they did together before, but their big thing they did together for years and years was Schitt's Creek. You ever see that?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the few shows that I've, one of the shows that I've been getting around to watching.
Yeah, they're the guys from that.
Yes, I know who they
Your
are.
Your eyebrows look like that. Somebody on social media will back me up on this, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure they will. They're wild eyebrows. They are huge. They are just... I drew a good portion of them onto my head. So, yay. Well, welcome, listeners, to the Winter Fate. Here we are.
I didn't write us a song for this.
Oh, no.
It's okay. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out as we go.
Before we start the celebration, we do have a little bit of news from the front to catch up on. News! News. All right, so what happened in the news?
the news. So our main piece of news that we got this week is a update from our very own queen and author, Leigh Bardugo herself. And she seems to be sending out these emails pretty much every month, or at least every other month, just with updates as to what's going on with things in her book writing world, in the TV production world, and some tips and tricks for young authors and writers out there, which is really exciting. So we love getting these emails. If you're not subscribed, you can head over to her website and just enter your email address into the box and subscribe. It's completely free and accessible to anyone who has an email address. So we are not privileged to get this information, but we are happy to report it, you know? So, Jeff, we have some lovely things coming to us from Leigh this month. This email, as of recording, just came to us yesterday. I don't know if you got the chance to read it yet or not.
I didn't.
Ah, okay, so this will be lovely news to you then. So she started out her email, "Happy holidays, oh dark hearts, friends. It is cold and rainy and I am so delighted. We have put up the Chromis tree and we are enjoying every gray day."
Of course she calls it a Chromis tree.
Yeah.
I love that she calls it that, and I'm a bit angry at myself for not thinking of it.
Ah, well, at one point I may end up with a Chromis tree in my house, because I'm slowly working my way towards a Harry Potter one. I already have an Aria one, and that's probably the next logical step if we're gonna be real about it. But we also got a lot of updates in this newsletter from her as to things that she's been doing and things that have been going on with her. Like we talked about last episode, the Rule of Wolves book was out for a Goodreads award, and it won! So thank you to anyone who voted for that. And it won for Best Young Adult Fantasy and Science Fiction. And this year, over 4.7 million votes were cast for all of the books, which is bananas, if you ask me. That's a lot of voting to be doing. But we're just excited that she got that accolade to put under her belt, which is fabulous. We also got a note from her that she is part of a conglomerate of authors who participated in creating a literary tarot deck, which is exciting. I did get the chance to look at them, and I don't know if you did, Jeff, but they are very, 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 very pretty.
No, I haven't gotten to see that yet, but now that I know that it's out there, my wife loves to collect tarot decks, so part of me wants to get that for her, but part of me is just concerned that she wouldn't know who a lot of the other authors are, just because I read a lot more than my wife does.
Mm-hmm.
If they ever had a tarot deck of manga artists or manga characters, that would be a tarot deck for my wife.
Yeah. It's really pretty artwork anyway. Even if you don't know all the authors, it's definitely at least worth a peek at. And other things that she's been doing, she has been working on The Ninth House 2, which is very exciting for me because I just started reading Ninth House, and I told Jeff that the first like 10 pages I was like, and then now I'm just fully in, and I'm loving every second of it, and it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. It definitely, you have to have a stronger stomach, I would say, to be able to get through this book. It's a little bit gory in a lot of places, but definitely super, super enjoyable.
It's not so much for me, the gore. Like, we're going to try to keep it light here. This is our Winter Fate episode. But for me, Ninth House, it's not the gore so much that's the problem. It's just more that there are a lot of things in that book that if you are a person who is easily triggered by certain things that may exist in your past, I'm not even going to list them here. There are a lot of scenes in that book that are going to be kind of difficult to read.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, the main character definitely has dealt with and is dealing with a lot of trauma. So that is definitely something that's at play that I've found out already so far. So I'm excited to finish reading Ninth House, and I'm excited that they're going to be making a show for it, and they are working on scripting and casting and the production of that right now, along with her writing Ninth House 2. And we also got a note from her that all the roles from the Shadow and Bone show have been cast, including my favorite, Nikolai.
She did specifically say that Nikolai has definitely been cast, along with all of the... And then she just said for all the characters for season 2. Like, the casting is done. So that, I mean, there's no point in not acknowledging that the character of Nikolai Lantsov is not going to be in the next season. What people are really wondering, I think, is certain characters from Six of Crows, and whether or not they will be appearing at this point, because it could go that way, but not necessarily.
Yeah, because from this point forward, they're kind of making up a backstory for Six of Crows until we get to the actual point where in, I guess, in Six of Crows, the book, these two storylines actually physically meet up that we know of already. So it'll definitely be interesting to see which characters we get and which characters we might have to wait a few seasons for. So I'm excited for that too, Jeff.
It'll be worth the wait.
Yes. And in regard to the show, she said, "We'll be starting shooting soon and we're already planning a set visit so I can meet everyone in person and probably have another cry because that's my thing."
She doesn't have a monopoly on that.
It's nice to see her meeting the cast in person. So I know I really enjoyed that last season when she got to meet everyone and she was like so excited and crying and she got to be part of the show and it was so cute and I loved it. So I'm kind of new to the graphic novel scene, but I definitely love the graphic novels. And we got the news that we are going to be getting a graphic novel for Demon in the Woods, the Darkling prequel, which definitely is something that within the fandom is kind of not everyone's favorite, I would say. Some people like it and some people don't, from what I've gauged. And I'm just excited to see this beautiful artwork because the artist, I looked her up on Instagram, who is the person, DC Pender. Mm-hmm. She will be doing the artwork for this, and her artwork is just absolutely stunning. So I'm just excited to see this beautiful artwork and get the story that's Grishaverse along with it. I don't know if you have any thoughts, Jeff.
I mean, I enjoy graphic novels. I've got a few. I don't have a ton on my shelf, but I do have a few. Yeah. And mostly I get them as gifts from my stepdad because he's really, really up on stuff like graphic novels. So I was thinking it would actually be kind of fun when this comes out if I get one and give it to him and say, "Hey, check it out. They made a graphic novel version of this thing that I'm always talking about that my friend and I do a show for."
Yeah. Maybe no, that's a great idea.
You would like to read it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I'll get a copy for myself because, I mean, come on.
Yeah. You have to be able to read it along with him, you know. So one other thing that she did mention in her email was that she is doing, I think this is something she must have done last year, but I'm just not privy to. It's hashtag BAYMTGO, which stands for Begin As You Mean to Go On. And it is a kind of writing prompt to, or a prompt to just do something that you've kind of been putting off and just post about it so that way you have some kind of accountability. And she said that if you tag the post with hashtag BAYMTGO, she is going to hover over you like a sinister fairy godmother. So if you would like Leigh Bardugo to be looking at any of your little projects that you're working on or any passion project that you have, go ahead and use that tag. Maybe Jeff and I will use that tag on podcasting stuff.
Yeah, maybe that's how we trick. Like, that's our in. Yeah. That's how we trick Leigh Bardugo into finding out that our show exists. We won't force her to listen to it or anything. But I mean, if we happen to put this hashtag on stuff that has to do with the show, maybe between writing the sequel to Ninth House, adapting Ninth House for television, visiting the Shadow and Bone season 2 set and crying, maybe she pulls out her phone and says, "Hey, there's this thing using the hashtag that I invented." I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I've never heard it before, so I'm gonna say yes. But yeah, we could definitely do that. And listeners, if you want to get in on this to help, maybe we can make all post about the podcast and use this hashtag. And maybe we can eventually get her on the show. That would be really cool.
No, I don't want to turn it into like that kind of sounds like we're doing a hostile takeover of her hashtag for our own purposes. I don't want to do that. Like, she set this thing up for a reason. So use it as you see fit is all I'm going to say.
Use it for when you're posting your Darkling as a Drag Queen fan art.
That's yes, because we still need more. We
yes, need I can more. Never have enough.
Always more.
Always. So that is all the news we have and the news from the front. And we have some absolutely fabulous, fantastic, just mind-blowingly wonderful, lovely things in the Voice of the People coming up, Jeff. Would you like to start us off? We have a quick question And then we have so many other things to be saying.
So we are going to be having, just as a little preview for you, we do have a secret Santa gift exchange game coming as part of our Winter Fate. But Juliana wanted to know on Instagram what you guys would get the Darkling for Christmas. And then she wrote it in the Google Doc I'm looking at as get the Darling for Christmas. Don't know if that was just kind of unconsciously thinking, oh, I love you, darling.
Oh, darling.
You love him so much.
I love him, yes.
All right. Okay, so some of the answers that we got to what people would get the Darkling for Christmas. You guys, I don't know if y'all know how clever you are, but so, like one person, Yael underscore 107030 just said a brand new black kefta. And that's adorable, because I don't know. That got me wondering, like, kefta are special. And how often, like, do they, I mean, they wear them to battle, so surely they must require cleaning. But how often do they actually need to be replaced, do you think? Because military uniforms, I've never thought about that. Because when you wear a uniform on a military campaign, it's going to get dirty. It's going to get worn out. And you're probably going to have to get a new uniform at some point. So do you think kefta need to be rotated?
I would imagine you would have at least two kefta of like the same weight and usability. Like you have two winter kefta and two summer kefta and two battle kefta. And I want to say that you probably would replace them less than the average human soldier uniform, just because they are built out of fabricator materials and probably have a lot of like self-cleaning properties and really indestructible properties. So I'm assuming you could probably wear them for a decent amount of time, but you definitely would need a new one after a while.
It's a fair point.
Yeah.
So he's gonna get a new kefta, black kefta for Christmas from Yael. So that's good.
Yeah, practical.
Haley went kind of a different route. She said a fluffy blanket because he needs something soft. Aw, don't we all?
I imagine he has a lot of fluffy blankets already. He's one of those people who goes back to his fabulous, fantastic, just like highly decorated room, and he has like a big old floof of blankets on his bed, and he falls back in, he's like, yes, and is surrounded by all the fluffy blankets.
Exactly. All the more reason why you can, trust me, we have many fluffy blankets in our house. You can never have too many fluffy blankets unless you have a limited amount of storage space. But I don't think that's a problem for the Darkling. He is opulent. He is extravagant.
Yes.
He has so much space. He probably owns many storage units.
Nothing says opulence like a storage unit.
Please, if anything should happen to me, God forbid, please work that into my obituary somehow. Nothing is more opulent than a storage unit. That describes, I feel like somehow that describes me. I'm not sure, but I'm not second guessing it.
You know what? I like this for you, Jeff. I feel like it's a good vibe.
It's definitely my vibe. My personal I insist on being the one to read this answer, but it might be a little bit of a struggle for me to do it coherently, because I can't look at it without laughing. April May 2200 says that for Christmas for the Darkling, they would get probably some nice fold remover. Really get the stains of your past mistakes out.
See, that is like the perfect. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh my god.
You officially broken Jeff. You broke him.
Oh my gosh. I wish you could have been there the first time I read that, because the first time I saw that answer and I read it, like, I had tears. I was laughing so much.
Oh yeah, because obviously I'm the one who posted this from our Instagram too. I was like laughing so hard when I saw it the first time. I was like, oh my god, that's so clever. It's so clever, and it's so, this is why we love you listeners, because you guys all have the best ideas and the best comments, and this whole section is going to turn into a love fest. Like, let's be real here, Jeff. We are, this is the excessively like far ended tip of what we're going to get into.
Mm-hmm. Now, this, I was not, there are some things that you kind of hope for that mm-hmm. you don't really know how to prepare for. And one of those things is when you get an email from a listener that is not just, I mean, I've written some decent length emails in my time. Okay.
Oh, same.
This email was the longest email I have ever gotten from anybody. And that is a compliment.
Yeah, it was so well written. I remember I was scrolling. I was like, this is like a book. Someone wrote us, sat down and wrote us a full book.
Like,
wow.
I can't just pull my phone out, check this real quick and think, oh, and then put my phone back in my pocket. No, to properly, like, take this in, I had to sit down
yeah.
and, like, make time to read it. And afterwards, yeah. I said, you know what? I'm going to print out this email, and I'm going to put it up on my office wall, and it's going to become, like, my new motivational poster. You know those motivational posters that people buy that, mm-hmm. like, it has some kind of serene background, like a full moon over a beautiful lake, or like just a serene forest, and it has some asinine quote about not sweating the small stuff, and this is supposed to make you feel better about stuff? No, for me, it's this. It is this like 6 to 10 page like thesis written by, I promised earlier that I would get to this person. Her name is Undine.
Yeah.
And apparently Juliana thinks that Undine's name has like 5 E's and 7 N's and a bunch of exclamation points.
Yeah, well, that was my excitement. It was Undine! Because I know when I read this to Jeff, I had goosebumps and shivers because it's just such a sweet email. And this is why we're here, because we want to connect with other people who love the fandom and love being part of the fandom. And this podcast is just so much better because we have listeners like this, because we have people that interact with us. And without all of you, this is just literally me and Jeff hanging out, which is still fun, but not
so
quite
fun.
As fun. Not
it's,
quite
it,
as
the
fun.
More people, trust me, one thing we love about fandoms in general is that the more people can get together and engage with each mm-hmm. other and enjoy the same things, the better it is. Because
yeah.
that's the positive side of being in a fandom, right?
Yeah, that's Juliana's favorite part of being in a fandom.
Not the trolls lurking in comment sections and certain authors who say hurtful things. We won't get into that because I
yeah.
want to talk about this email. I haven't even cracked it yet. And
oh.
unfortunately, because of how long it is, I cannot read the whole thing here, but I'm just going to kind of, I'm going to try to hit the highlights here.
This is the edited version, Jeff. I edited out a lot.
I'm going to have to edit it further because
okay.
criminy. Wow.
This is the very, very edited version. I cut out like 75% of the email.
So Undine comes from South Africa, and Undine is, bless her heart, she included for Juliana's pronunciation corner, think of underwear and Nadine and then put them together.
Undine.
This is a person who is like us.
She
clearly.
Has realized that.
I mean, a pansexual vegan and whose pronouns are she, her, and they. Yeah, they're definitely one of us.
Yeah, we adopt you. You are now a member of our weird, crazy, freaky family.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
So Undine, I came across, this is a fun story. I love this story. Undine was looking for interviews on Spotify with Leigh Bardugo herself, came across our show, and actually started with our bonus episode where we talked about her Penn Faulkner interview. And apparently she enjoyed that enough that she felt motivated to go back and listen to our entire backlog of episodes. Then she starts to get into a little bit about kind of her past life, how she got from where she was to where she is now. And then this is the part that was especially fun for us to read when she's talking about the things about the show that she enjoys. Like Juliana, she likes the news song that I didn't know was going to become a thing, but now it is.
Yeah.
She cackles like a drunk hyena when Juliana mispronounces something, and she specifically says Fenyor, anyone?
Fenyor.
I love how she's like caught on to that. And then Juliana was adamant that I have to read this exact phrase as Undine wrote it.
Yes.
She talks about how Mal, not Mel, is an absolute douche canoe.
It's my favorite new insult. I did send Undine back an 8-minute recording of myself because I had such strong feelings about the lovely email that she sent us. I recorded myself.
You sent Undine an 8-minute recording of yourself?
Yeah.
And I'm just hearing about this?
I told you I did that. I said, check your email. I sent her back.
You did not.
Oh, I definitely did, Jeff.
No, you
didn't. You can listen
to
it later. It's in our email.
Specifically, Undine seems to love it when you get on your Mal is a douche canoe soapbox, and then Jeff has reasoned, calm counterpoints followed by the inevitable valid point, but he still sucks. Because that's our thing.
Yeah. Well,
she
agreed with
me. You get on these tirades about Mel, and then I point out, well, then there's this, this, and this, and you're like, oh, well, I can't disagree with you, but I still hate him, because I do.
Yeah. Well, Undine agreed with me and said he's an absolute asshat, and I say yay.
Asshat, douche, canoe, my goodness.
So many good insults in here.
So many mixed metaphors here. So Undine is also, like us, a fan of Drag Race, so some Drag Race references, such as trying to figure out, oh, she gave us a great segment that we are definitely going to use sometime, where we can recast the characters from Shadow and Bone as some of our favorite queens from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
She says she particularly feels that Crystal Versace from Drag Race UK would make a fantastic Alina with all that white hair. Ooh. I'm gonna save my thoughts on that for when we do the segment, because I do have thoughts on that.
Yeah.
And then she ended her email by saying, with love and extra snuggles, Undine. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the very, very tip of the iceberg of what she sent us. But yeah, thank you, Undine, so much for doing that. And yes, Jeff, I thought I told you that I did that. It could have gotten lost in our text messages or one of our voice messages.
Who knows? I go to bed for like 4 or 5 hours. I wake up and I have 50 voice memos from you. What am I supposed to do?
Hi. Yeah. Well, Undine got a taste of that, and there's, Undine, if you haven't checked your email yet, there's an 8-minute love fest from me in your email, so go check it. But other than that, Jeff, we have some other lovely people who have been listening to us who wanted to share their thoughts about the show, and our first one comes from Omidy, who is they, them. And they said, I wanted to thank you for mentioning me on your latest Into the Fold podcast. My heart literally melted.
Oh, Omidy, please rush your heart to someplace very cold so that your heart can once again solidify and then put it back in your chest.
Yes. And then we got a message from Eleanor.
Or it's Elmira, not Elmira.
Yes. But she said we could call her Eleanor if we wanted to.
And apparently Elmira, or Eleanor, if you prefer, is also Iranian and living in, I'm assuming NC means North Carolina.
Yeah, that's what I would imagine.
It's the only NC that I know of.
Yeah, same. And she said that she is very excited to have our podcast, and we are very excited to have her as a listener. And I actually just made her a kefta. So if anyone else is interested in getting their own personal kefta, you can head over to our link tree, and it's right there if you'd like a handmade kefta for yourself.
Our Etsy store isn't back up yet, is it?
No, it's back up. I put it back up.
It is?
A while. Yeah, it went back up a while ago.
Okay, so this should have been probably in our news segment at some point, but our Etsy store is back up. We have got pins, we've got stickers, and we have got handmade keftas.
Yes, by yours truly. So if you'd like your own little piece of kefta art, you can get that. They're the same ones that, well, they're fully handmade by me, so each one is different. But if you want an idea of what they look like, head over to our Instagram or Twitter, and we have both Jeff and I's keftas up there as examples if you'd like to see them.
So Allie answered our question from a previous episode where she said, I really wish for a redemption arc for the Darkling. What I meant was more of a balance between their powers. Alina would keep him in check, and he would help her navigate the depth of her power. They could totally rule the world. We know that the light can only exist if there's darkness and vice versa. By the way, I really love this special episode.
Oh, thank you, Allie. And that's a really good point. I definitely agree with that, too, if the Darkling just had some kind of redemption arc, but we'll have to wait and see what happens in the next book, Jeff.
All I will say to that is that a redemption arc can take many forms, because sometimes redemption means that they have a complete and total reversal of their previous selves. And like kind of think like Ebenezer Scrooge from A Christmas Carol, because he's been this angry miser who's mean to everybody his whole life, and then after his experience with the ghost, he wakes up and suddenly he's cheerful and grateful and charitable, and he's the complete opposite of what he was before that experience.
Yeah.
For some people, a redemption arc is they do nothing but wrong their whole lives, and then right before their death, they do something so huge to help mankind, if you like, that completely fixes everything that they did wrong.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to wait and see what direction the Darkling takes himself in for the next coming books that we're going to see him in. I think, Jeff, it is time that we get into our main segment of the show, which is our party! Woo! Party!
Party music.
Yeah, so to celebrate the holidays and to celebrate the fact that we finished book one, we are having our own Winter Fate. We have a bunch of fun games that we're going to be playing, and I think, listeners, you're in for a real treat. So our first game is going to be run by Jeff. So, Jeff, take it away.
Right. You've done a Secret Santa gift exchange before, right?
Yes.
Right. If anybody listening has never been part of a Secret Santa, the way it works is the names go in a hat or something. The names get pulled out, and you buy a gift for the person whose name you pull out. So what we're going to do today is I've taken the names of 12 characters from Shadow and Bone. I'm going to pull the names out, and we are going to take turns, each name I pull out, figuring out what that person is going to get for Christmas. Are you ready?
Yes.
Good, because I am giving you the first one.
Okay.
Not gonna look, just gonna reach in the hat, pull out a name, and the first person you are gonna get a Christmas present for is Jenya.
Oh, Jenya. You know, she
now,
could
definitely... Now, bear in mind, hang on, so, I'm sorry, okay. I probably should have clarified this before we started. You can get these people anything you want. It can be something
anything
that would only exist in their time, because I did a similar game with a different show that I'm on recently, and we realized that we hadn't specified, can we only get them things from their own time? Can we get them things from, like, the modern age? Like, or do you want to just make something up? So literally anything modern, fictional, whatever you like, you can get this person anything.
Wow. I think definitely getting her, like, a new kit for like transforming and tailoring people would be really cool. And maybe, I don't know if she'd be able to use this, but kind of having a layout of every single Pantone color that there is out there. I don't know if she could pull the pigments off of the poster, if that's what it was, but that'd be really cool, because I feel like that's something she definitely doesn't have in the Grishaverse, to just have like a layout of or an app. We can give her an app on her phone that has every single Pantone color in it. So that way she can just be like, whoop, 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 I need chartreuse, dark chartreuse, please. And she's just like looking through and she's like, aha, and she can pull the pigments.
All right.
Yeah.
Perfect. I don't know if I would have thought of that. That's really good.
Well, I mean, I'm trying, Jeff.
Well, let's see. I have got Alina.
Ooh, okay. Oh, what are you going to get her?
Yeah, no pressure. My first Secret Santa gift is for Alina Starkov, the star of the show.
The Sun Summoner.
Yeah, the Sun Summoner. You know what I'm going to get her? I'm going to get her an all-expenses-paid vacation to an undisclosed location where nobody knows where she is.
I think that's a great vacation.
Two tickets to paradise, or in her case, one ticket to paradise, pack her bags, she'll leave tonight kind of thing. Those are lyrics to a song, by the way.
Yes.
But the point is, what I want her to do is just kind of get away from everybody and everything and just take some time for herself. Like,
I think she definitely needs it.
Definitely does need it.
I'm going to send a gift of sunscreen with her.
Okay. I'll include some sunscreen because wherever she's going may be very sunny.
Well, I mean, doesn't she need it to protect herself from herself, essentially?
I don't know. Maybe. She's not the one that she has to be scared of right now.
Yeah,
it's all the men in her life.
Yeah.
We won't get into that. We are going to get into more presents, because the next gift that you are getting is for Ivan.
Oh, Ivan. I think Ivan needs a counselor. I think I'm going to set him up with some BetterHelp therapy. I'm going to buy the subscription for him, and then he can go and get some therapy and deal with all the thoughts and feelings and negative emotions that he has been harboring for way too long.
That's perfect. When I did this with the other show I mentioned, we did this on Speak Beastie with the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them characters. That's what I wanted to get for Credence.
I think that's also a great gift for Credence.
Definitely. Take the hat, see what comes out. Who's going next? I am getting a present for Zoya Nazielenski.
Ooh, okay. What are you going to get for Zoya, Jeff?
I'm going to get Zoya a magic mirror. And this magic mirror's special power is that when she looks in it, it tells her one thing about herself that is good and one thing about herself that she needs to work on. That way, she doesn't feel like she's getting beat up by her own mirror, because there are wonderful things about Zoya, as if she doesn't already know. And she also kind of needs to be kept in check a little bit. That's so far, like, where we ended in Shadow and Bone, that's the impression I get with Zoya, is that Zoya wouldn't be so terrible if she had somebody who was trying to keep her in check a little bit more often. But nobody's doing that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a good gift for her, Jeff.
Your next gift.
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad this one came out for you, because I had a feeling that you'd be the right person to get this person a gift. You're getting one for Marie.
Oh, Marie!
Marie, yeah.
What would I get for Marie? I feel like Marie just needs, what could I get Marie? Marie could honestly just go to the spa. No, I'll take her with me. Her and I will have a nice girls' day together, and we'll go to the spa, and it'll be cute, and we'll have a good time.
It's interesting that I feel like it's a kind of a modern idea that it used to be when you got someone a present for a holiday, you would get them a thing that you could put in a box and you could wrap it and they could open it. But what we're getting people is vacations and spa treatments and therapy and basically things that we're paying for, but they benefit from.
Yeah, I feel like, well, the whole experience is our gifts thing has been a pretty big movement in the gift giving world.
Oh, yeah,
because a while now.
People don't want to just have stuff. They want to experience life.
Yes.
And goodness knows some of these characters are experiencing a very limited life. It's just war and more war, and then just to break up the monotony, some war. Did I mention war?
A good variety of things that they're doing.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah. That sounds like very diverse in all the hobbies and pastimes that they have. Mm-hmm. I like it.
I'm excited about this one.
Yeah.
My next gift is for Fedyr.
Oh, I like him.
See, now I'm thinking like I should probably have one of each. If I'm going to get Fedyr an experience, like if we're sticking with that theme since we're already on it, I'm going to sign Fedyr up. I did this with one of the Fantastic Beast characters as well. I'm going to sign Fedyr up for speed dating. Grisha speed dating. Because you know what? Fedyr is a catch, and he is far too good to...
to waste.
Yes, he is far too good to waste.
Or you could just send him on a date with me. I'll take him.
Isn't Fedyr gay?
Technically, he could be bisexual.
He could be. I don't know why. I definitely read him as a queer character. Maybe that was just me.
Oh, no, I definitely think him and Ivan are an item, but he could still be my best friend. We would have a fabulous time.
Okay. You know what? Actually, I'm going to change my answer, because with Fedyr, I forgot that he and Ivan are a thing and that we made that a headcanon, so I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to get him a very nice, like, fragrance. Like, maybe he's a cologne person. Maybe he's a perfume person. I don't know. But, like, we're gonna pick something out for Fedyr that is definitely going to catch Ivan's attention. Like, meet me in the war room in 5 minutes, attention.
Woo-hoo! Wow. You know what I would also get them would be I would love to get Fenyor, and by proxy, Ivan, a date to a petting zoo. I feel like Fenyor would love going to a petting zoo, and Ivan would go with him begrudgingly.
How is that not what I said?
I mean, no, it is exactly what you said, Jeff.
Heavy petting zoo, more like.
Yeah, they go to the light petting zoo first, and then the heavy petting zoo after he's put on his brand new fragrance from Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey.
Speaking of fragrant individuals.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Your next holiday gift is, I think you know. You got the apparat.
He's getting a bath. Like, let's be real here. He's getting a bath. That's all he's getting. A very, very thorough bath that will be done by multiple individuals to make sure they get in every crevice of this man's body. I don't care what crevice it is. He will be getting a very thorough bath.
Please don't let me, if they're going to get every crevice of the apparat, please do it when I'm not, like, invent a new, how about we get the fabricators to come up with a new kind of bath bomb, but instead of, like, the kind you drop in the bath water and it goes all fizzy and smells nice, like, it's literally a bath bomb, like, you throw the bomb at somebody,
and it gives
poof.
Them a bath.
Yeah, instant bath. That would be
a
perfect, think about it. That would be a perfect thing to have out on the battlefield because you're out there for days. You don't know when you're going to find water. You have to wash yourself somehow. So you throw bath bombs at each other because it would be fun. It'd be like paintball that gets you clean.
I would love to have those for my elderly people at work. That would be make things a lot easier.
Oh, I bet. See, we just came up with a fun invention.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Wow.
It's nice. We're creative people.
Yeah, we try, you know.
Now, we already have so many good suggestions from listeners for this person, so I don't know what I could possibly get them now because I got the Darkling.
Oh, well, you could always get them a nice washcloth to clean up that fold remover after they're done using it.
No, you know what I'm going to get the Darkling? I'm going to find out which makeup brand is the Darkling's favorite, and I'm going to go on their website, and I'm going to see, like, what kind of deluxe kit do they have with all of their, like, it's going to have their foundations, some setting powder, it's going to have all the different eyeshadow palettes. Ooh, you know what? We could develop something for the Darkling. The eyeshadow fold palette. Eyeshadow, shadow fold, eyeshadow fold palette.
How has no one actually, like, legitimately come out with that yet? There has to be someone.
I don't know.
If there is someone who listens to the show and actually works in cosmetics, if you want to, or, like, does their own cosmetics on Etsy or something like that, please, 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 please make this a thing. I will be the first one to order it. I would love to have the shadow fold palette. Like,
and for sure.
Each one can just be, like, just something related to the shadow and bone. Like, they have a corporal guy red, have an ethereal guy blue, a material guy purple, and just name them all after things. And then we can have different shades of black. All the Darkling's names, which I'm not going to name right now because we'll get more of them in the coming books. But if you've read all the books, you know where I'm headed with that. So we'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Not gonna lie, slightly jealous that you got this person.
Yeah.
Again, based on that, I think you know who I'm talking about.
Mao.
Who do you think it is?
Mao.
No.
David.
No. You got Bodkin.
Oh, wow. Wow, that one went right over my head. Wow, okay. Well,
what are you going to get for Bodkin?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like he needs some time away from fighting and some time away from teaching. He could definitely, maybe we'll send him with Alina in a separate, slightly further away, undisclosed location just to take a breath. Not have to fight anyone and just take a breather, you know?
So again, with the theme of sending people on experiences instead of getting them a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm gonna get him?
What? A new knife.
I'm gonna get him a puppy.
Aw, I think he'd be great with a puppy.
He'd be like the kind of guy that, like, he would, somebody would get a puppy and then the puppy would unfortunately be abandoned and he would find the puppy and he would feel bad that the puppy was out there without any food. So he'd give him some food and then the puppy starts to, like, show him some affection and it becomes like the one living creature that he's willing to show affection back to. So then the puppy becomes like his best buddy.
Aww. What would he name the puppy?
Oh, gosh.
Little Bodkin.
Battle Axe.
Probably, yeah.
He would probably, you know what,
killer.
Honestly, since he's from the Shu Han, he would probably give it a Shu name.
Oh, true.
That would, I don't honestly think he would name it Battle Axe. That's a name for a gerbil.
Clearly.
No, definitely. No, he would give it a shoe name that I don't know what it would be, but it would be beautiful.
Yeah, I like this for him.
It would depend on what the dog looks like.
Oh, it's definitely a cute little poopy, the floppy ears and everything. It's a cute doggy.
I've got David.
Oh, okay. What are you going to get for David?
I'm going to have Jenya tell me what kind of... I'm going to get him one of two things. I'm either going to get him a seat warmer for his workbench.
Yeah,
because he's always in there, always working. Or I'm going to have Jenya find out which tools he's using for his work that could probably do with a little bit of upgrading, and I'll get him a nice new set of tools that he can work with to do his tinkering.
Oh, yeah. That's a great gift. Something practical. I like how we're either providing people with something practical or an experience. I feel like that's just the general vibe of gift giving nowadays, which is not a bad thing, I would say.
Well, when you have these characters that, like, you dissect them, you analyze them, you think, who are they? What do they do? Like, you spend a lot of time trying to understand them for purposes of discussion. That makes it easy to think, okay, what do I know about this person to get them a gift? And yet, somehow, with the people that you know in your everyday life, you just get so used to them being there that you think, what can I possibly get them that they don't have?
Yeah, that's true.
Are you ready for your final gift?
Ooh, yes. I got
two more names here.
Okay.
Ha-ha!
Ha-ha!
You guessed this one before, and now it's happened. So you're going to have to get a gift from Mal.
Oh, he's definitely getting some eyebrow conditioner. Like, let's be real here. He is going to be getting some high-end eyebrow conditioner, because these brows, my friends, these need to be tended to.
Definitely.
And he's going to get some classes on how to be an actual human being and not a douche canoe.
He's working on it.
He's still a douche canoe. That is my... Undine.
I know that, but he's working on it.
Undine, thank you so much for this insult. It is my new favorite insult. I will be using it all the time. Thank you very much, douche canoe.
So.
Yes, who is your final person?
Well, who haven't we said?
Why can I not think of her name?
I don't know.
Bagra.
Yes, Bagra. Yeah. I get to get a gift for Bagra.
Woo, okay.
And surprisingly, Bagra is the person that I struggle the most to think what would they actually want, because Bagra would definitely be the kind of person that you would have to get them something practical, because if you got anything sentimental for Bagra, she would just outright reject it.
Oh, yeah. She'd be like, what is this? Trash. Boy. Yeah, like that.
I would say, I would send a bunch of people to her hut to clean it, but I don't think she would like that either, because she probably gets people to clean her hut for her anyway because of her station. And it's also probably she doesn't want people being in her hut unless she invited them.
Yeah, I think that's
true. So maybe not that.
You're not going to get her a welcome mat?
No. Oh, actually, you know what? That's perfect. Here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to get Bagra one of those welcome mats that instead of saying welcome, it says f*** off.
I think that that's a great idea.
I am going to get Bagra a f*** off welcome mat.
Yes, that is exactly her vibe.
That is totally her vibe, and I have seen those.
Yes, me too. I think that that's a great gift, Jeff.
Now, I am very excited for this next segment because regular listeners of the show will recall that on more than one occasion, I have brought to you a Mad Lib. One time, I took a passage from the book and turned it into a Mad Lib. Then I created I took an existing Mad Lib from a book and told you specifically to try to rework it Grishaverse style. But today, you have Mad Libs for me.
I have three that we can do. So we'll see.
Okay.
There's not too many fill in the blanks on each of these, so I think we can do at least two of them.
Okay.
So I'm just going to ask you for what I need, and then we will go from there. So the first thing I need from you is an adverb.
Softly.
Soft. Hold on, my pen. Okay.
And adverb ends in L-Y, so softly.
Oh, thank you. And I need a color.
Purple.
And then I need a verb.
Punt.
Punt?
Punt, yes.
Okay. And then I need a silly word. That's what it's telling me.
A silly, what part of speech? Like a silly noun, a silly verb?
It looks like it's a noun by the context of this.
Douche canoe.
Douche canoe. Okay, that works. And then I need a celebrity.
Ben Barnes.
Ooh, okay. And then I'm going to need an adjective.
Exquisite.
And then I'm going to need a verb.
Hug.
A noun.
Furry hat.
Okay. And then lastly, I'm going to need a plural noun.
Presence.
Okay, Jeff.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
So this is a special Mad Libs.
Okay.
This is a really special Mad Libs because this
How
one...
How special is it?
I'm going to give you the Mad Libs first, and then I'm going to tell you where I got it from after that.
Okay.
The name of this Mad Libs is Lip Gloss Emergency.
Yes. I already love it.
Dear Mom, can you please send me more lip gloss softly? I am almost out of it in purple. Can you also punt that one that I like called Douche Canoe by Ben Barnes? If my lips aren't exquisite, I will so hug. I am not even kidding. It's a total emergency. I hope you can help. Ella. P.S. I am also running low on pink furry hats, and my presents are beginning to chip. Where do you think this is from, Jeff? Where do you think I could have gotten this from?
Does this have anything to do with Drag Race?
No, but it's from something else that we've talked about before.
What else have we talked about before?
Think the person's name is Ella, who just wrote this letter to her mom about lip gloss.
Oh my god, no. No, you didn't. You did not. You did not get a Camp Rock Mad Lib book.
It's coming to you as part of your Christmas gift.
How dare you?
I took pictures of a bunch of the pages so that way we could do this.
How dare you?
I mean, you're running low on Douche Canoe Shade from Ben Barnes.
Oh my god.
That's my favorite shade of lip gloss, Jeff. And it's an emergency. I need more Douche Canoe.
Yeah, you need somebody to punt something softly, I think. I don't. Oh my god. Why am I surprised? Why am I surprised?
I don't know. I don't know. Oh, Jeff. You're in for quite a treat when you actually get the rest of your Christmas gift, because this is the whole book is coming to you as part of your Christmas gift.
Fantastic, then.
Yeah. You can just sit around and fill out Mad Libs about Camp Rock. If you'd like, we can do another one.
Yes, let's do another one.
Okay. Do you want... I'm going to let you pick... You can have either one or two. Which do you want? Mad Lib 1 or Mad Lib 2?
2.
Okay. I need a person in the room.
Which room?
Just this person in any room you'd like. In any house.
Okay, how about Alexa?
Oh, that's dangerous. I shouldn't say that out loud. And then I'm going to need a number.
42.
And then I'm going to need a verb.
Rock.
Okay. And then I'm going to need an article of clothing.
Pantaloons.
Okay. And then I'm going to need a plural noun.
Bunny slippers.
And then I'm going to need just a noun.
Toilet.
Okie dokie.
I don't know.
And then I'm going to need a color.
Chartreuse.
Sure, love it.
Good luck spelling that. I don't know. I don't know how to spell chartreuse.
I spelled it phonetically because it's only for me, so it doesn't matter.
That makes sense. As long as you can read it out, it's fine.
Yes. Okay, so this Mad Lib is entitled Serious Brown.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Alexa. Today was rough, mate. I had to tell 42 campers that they're not allowed to rock at Final Jam. It's their punishment for taking another camper's pantaloons, even though I really don't...
Yes.
Even though I really don't think they would do something like that. I just don't understand bunny slippers today. When when we rocked, it was pure all about the toilet. Not anymore. Now it's about winning, no matter what the cost. Uncool. Chartreuse.
When we rocked, it was all about the toilet.
It was all about the toilet.
Well, see, you shouldn't have, you see, that would have been a very different Mad Lib if you hadn't told me we were doing this from a book of Mad Libs from the movie Camp Rock, because now that I know where these Mad Libs are coming from, now I'm trying to think, how can I take the movie Camp Rock and turn it into the Camp Rock that I would rather see, where people are stealing each other's pantaloons and something about chartreuse, I don't know.
Well, because his name is Brown in the movie, so they made you sign off as Chartreuse. He changed his name to Chartreuse at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great name. Good code name, I'd say.
Fine. Good code name. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you'd like to play another game, Jeff, I have some other games set up for us, if you'd like. I don't know what other game. What other games did you have that you were going to play?
That was it.
Oh, okay. Well, I have three more games.
Well, I was going to, but then you seem to have so many good ideas. I just said, you know what? I'm going to let Juliana be the party planner mostly on this one, just because the stuff that you came out with was so good that I said, you know what? We're just going to do Juliana's stuff.
Yes. Okay. So what we're going to play next then is match the quote to the character. This is when Juliana randomly goes through the book and finds a quote, reads it, and Jeff has to tell me who had said it.
So you don't have, like, a list? Like, you're going to randomly pull them out of the book just now?
We're randomly going to pull them out of the book. That's the level of chaos we are running at right now. Strap in. Here we go. Okay. Let's find a quote.
Yep.
You're wearing his symbol. His symbol and colors.
That sounds like Mal.
Yes, you got that one right. Very good, Jeff.
Excellent.
Yes, you have one thing in the book. Let's see. We'll camp tonight and leave for the fold at first light.
The Darkling?
Yes, that's Darkling. Some of these are kind of really hard. How can you say
some of these are really hard? You don't know what you're picking yet.
Well, some of them are just like short little quotes that aren't like really long quotes.
Or not like iconic lines, like you're just going to pick somebody saying, oh, excuse me, and I'm supposed to know like who in the book excuses themselves when they need to get by.
We could definitely do that. Or ones like this one. It's all right. It's all right. Who said that, Jeff?
Are you kidding me right now? It's all right. Really? Kenny Loggins, for crying out loud. Okay. It's all right. It's all right.
Take a guess. Take a stab.
Okay, fine. I'm going to say Jenya.
No, it was Mal.
Of course it was Mal.
Okay, how about this one? Of course she has. She's also heard of unicorns and the Shu Han dragons.
That feels like Bagra.
Yes, that's very good. You're doing very good at this, Jeff. I'm kind of impressed.
Three out of four ain't bad.
Okay. How about this one? But don't say anything about it. The Darkling is very keen on the idea that we eat hearty peasant fare.
Was that Nadia?
Mm-mm.
Was it Marie?
Nope.
Was it Jenya?
Yes, it was Jenya.
I knew, but it sounded like advice. Like actual practical advice, and there are like three people I can think of in this entire book that gave her that, and it's Nadia, Marie, and Jenya. Everybody else, no.
Okay, let's do one more. You ready?
One more.
Of a sort. Some say he's a fanatic, others say he's a fraud.
That's definitely the Darkling.
Yes, talking about the apparat. Yes.
See, I figured when you told me what you were going to be doing, like, you're not going to pull out any apparat quotes because I will hear it in your voice that it is the apparat.
Yes, plus that one, like, all his quotes are very recognizable.
Exactly. Like, he has an iconic way of speaking. And also, he can't seem to, like, he uses Elena Starkov like it's a punctuation mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so, like a period, like a very slow period when he does it. But, like, if we're doing the Gilbert Gottfried version of it, then it's more like, Elena Starkov! Like, it's an exclamation point.
Yeah. It depends on which version of the apparat we're getting. So, that was match the quote to the character, and then I do have questions set up for this. You know this, Jeff. So, we're going to play Etherealkei lightning round questions. So, the rules for this...
Great, let's do it.
The rules for this are that you must say the first thing that pops into your head after I ask you the question. Nothing more, nothing less, okay?
Wait, are these they have correct or incorrect answers, or is this just word association?
They're questions to ask you about yourself, essentially.
Okay.
They're open-ended questions in a way. Some of them are asking you, like, this or that kind of questions. But you have to tell me the first thing that you think of once I ask you the question.
Is this going to, like, have some kind of analytical result where, like, I find out what kind of personality type I have?
I mean, I can kind of try and decipher that at the end, but no, this is just a list of random questions that I thought would be fun for you to answer very quickly in succession, just to see what your answers are.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, let's get going then.
Let's do it.
Sunlight or moonlight?
Moonlight.
Your favorite room in the little palace?
The dining hall.
The last song you downloaded?
Dirty Hands by Kendra Dantes.
Would you rather be able to speak every language in the world or be able to talk to animals?
Speak every language in the world.
Is it wrong for a vegetarian to eat animal crackers?
No.
What is the place you'd most like to travel in the Grishaverse?
Fjorda.
Your favorite junk food?
Licorice.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Mint chocolate chip.
Say a word in Ravkin.
Oprichniki.
Do you believe in fate?
Yes.
What's your favorite number?
42.
And finally, would you rather have the collar of the stag infused into your skin the same way it is in the show, or have to forever and it's stuck there, or have to smash mouths and have a battle of the tongues with the apparat?
I hate you.
I came in with a big finishing swing, you know?
I hate you. I love you, but I hate you.
Do you
I'd
want
rather the... have the antlers infused into my skin. I would rather cut my own tongue out than smash tongues with the apparat.
You don't want to smash mouths and have a battle of the tongues with the apparat?
No, I do not want to smash tongues with the apparat. Are you kidding me?
Well, Jeff, I think you did smashingly on the Etherealkei lightning round questions. Listeners, you got to learn.
Great. What does it mean?
It means that you are Jeffrey. And we know more about you now.
Duh.
The listeners know more about you, and that is that. And that you'd rather have a collar than a battle of the tongues.
Yeah. If the battle of the tongues is with the apparat, I mean, give me some of the other characters in the series and maybe we can talk about it.
Oh, no.
Because, case you hadn't noticed, most of those cast members in that Netflix show can get it.
Oh, yeah. They're all really hot. Like, let's be real here. But nope. It's the apparat. That's the only choice you get.
Ugh. Gag me with the lives of sands.
Okay, so the last thing I have for you, Jeff, is a segment that I listened to a whole podcast about called Never Seen It. And so they actually have comedians rewrite movies that they've never seen. So I would like you to write the plot and your general idea of what the movie is for a movie that you have never seen.
Just based on the title?
Based on the title and what other background knowledge you might happen to have about it. Like, on this podcast, normally people will know that, like, Danny DeVito is part of the movie and that at some point someone gets married. And they'll just really capitalize on those things. And so Danny DeVito will end up, like, hosting a marriage. And it's actually they're trying to rewrite Harry Potter or something like that, you know. It ends okay. up being not very close to what the actual movie is itself, and the goofier and the sillier the better, I would say. So
okay. Do I get to do one with you too?
If you'd like, yeah. That sounds good
okay,
to me.
Okay, after giving me the mental image of smashing tongues with the apparatus, I think I deserve to go first.
Okay, what movie would you... We'll make sure first that it's a movie that I haven't seen, which is pretty likely because I haven't seen a lot of movies.
Okay, do I give you the background information on the movie, or do you?
So how it works is you're just going to give me the title. And I'm just going to
give you the title. That's it.
I just want the title of the movie. Any other background knowledge I have is something that I have had to acquire like in my day-to-day living beforehand. And I'm going to use whatever background knowledge I do not have to write this script. Or just a brief outline of what the movie is.
Okay. I have one in mind. I guarantee you haven't seen it because a shockingly low number of people have seen this movie, but it is one of my favorites.
Okay.
The movie is called Fanboys.
Fanboys.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to tell you anything but that, right?
No, I don't want to know anything else. I'm going to write the script for this movie.
Okay, so tell me what you think Fanboys is.
So I think that this is a comedy. Uh-huh. I think that Adam Sandler is in it. I think that Will Ferrell is in it. I think that they are fanboys for a boy band, and they are just diehard fanboys for this boy band, and they follow them everywhere. And this boy band, they are not the most popular boy band. They only play at small venues, and it's kind of creepy that Will Ferrell and Adam Sandler are following them around, and they finally befriend these two kind of creepy weirdos, and they actually end up being part of the band. And in the end, Will Ferrell and Adam Sandler, after getting into many shenanigans and potentially blowing something up at least two times, become the managers for this little band. And this little band goes on to compete in Eurovision because this is all happening in Germany. The end.
I've never been more proud of you.
Yeah.
Like, this is the best thing you've ever... This plot for this movie, the fact that we're on this show right now aside, I mean, the plot for this movie that's never going to exist is the best thing that you've ever done by far.
Oh, well, we better get Adam Sandler and Will Ferrell on the line because, you know, I have them on speed dial.
Oh, definitely you do.
Yeah. So what is this movie actually about, Jeff? Tell me briefly what the movie is actually about.
You know, the funny thing is I could actually see the two of those two gentlemen making that film, but that is not what this is. So this was an independent film, I think, which is, I think, part of the reason why more people haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. It's about a group of friends who are all huge Star Wars nerds in the late 90s, right before the release of Episode One: Phantom Menace. And that's like the center of the plot, because one of their friends, they find out he has a terminal diagnosis and he's not likely to live long enough to see the premiere of Phantom Menace in theaters. Mm-hmm. So they decide to go on this epic quest to break into the Skywalker ranch and steal a cut of Episode One so that he can see it.
Oh, that's actually kind of sweet.
It's got, you were right though, it is a comedy. It's got Dan Fogler, what's his name? Something like Jay Bruchel, the guy who played Hiccup in all the How to Train Your Dragon movies.
Oh, okay.
He's in it. Kristen Bell is in it. She's like the one female friend that these guys have. And as they go on this epic quest across the country to break into the Skywalker Ranch, there's cameos from people inside the Star Wars universe and other celebrities as well, like Seth Rogen. He does like three or four different characters in that film, but then they also run into, there's a doctor played by Carrie Fisher, there's a judge played by Billy Dee Williams, there's a security guard played by Ray Park, and then there's other celebrity cameos as well. There's like Danny Trejo is in there.
Oh, this sounds like a pretty
William
good movie.
William Shatner is in. It has a hilarious take on the whole Star Trek versus Star Wars issue.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's a scene where they stop off in this town that's apparently, supposedly, the birthplace of Captain Kirk, I think it is, from Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And there's this group of Trekkies in cosplay who are dedicating a statue of Captain Kirk fighting Khan. Mm-hmm. And they just decide to start heckling them, and it becomes, it depending on how you've, what your qualifications are for an epic showdown. For me, it was an epic showdown.
Uh-huh.
Like, I loved it.
That sounds actually like a pretty good movie that I would actually really enjoy.
Well, we'll tell you what, we'll watch it when we come visit you next summer.
Okay, that sounds good to me. I'm down for
that. Now, are you going to give me a movie title so that I can write the movie?
I am going to give you a movie title. So I have a movie picked out for you, Jeff, that you will have probably a little bit more background knowledge on than I did for your movie. But
I haven't seen.
No, you definitely. I know for a fact that you have not seen it. So I would like you to write me the script of Camp Rock 2.
I hate you. I thought you loved me. I thought we were friends. Why do you do these things to me? Okay, so here's what I know. So once upon a time, Disney started making movies for the Disney Channel that were all exactly the same, and that's how it's always been, and that's how it's always going to be. But there was a movie starring a wonderfully talented artist named Demi Lovato, where they go to this camp that claims to be a camp of rock, but in fact it turns out to be a camp of mostly pop music and bad choreography and nonsense and lip gloss that is so not glossy anymore. Hair flip, walk away.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first Camp Rock. So yeah. In the second Camp Rock, what is the character's name? Izzy?
Mitchie?
Mitchie. Okay. So in this next one, Mitchie is all excited to go back to camp because the summer before was one of the most epic experiences of her entire life. Mitchie, the character, is a her, not Demi Lovato, the actor. I'm just making sure that I have to keep it straight that way just because gender pronouns are important.
Mm-hmm.
But the character Mitchie in this context is a female character.
Yes.
I think they make that pretty clear.
Yes.
So Mitchie and her mom pack up the car. They get to Camp Rock only to find that it doesn't quite look like Camp Rock because it looks like it has been abandoned for many years.
Oh,
like
no.
The sign is hanging off and it's like completely weather worn. There's pollution in the lake. And none of the cabins, like the windows are broken and the beds are all flipped upside down. Like it looks like a murder took place here. And everybody's thinking, well, what is going on? So Mitchie and her mom, they go to the cabin that belongs to the camp director, and they find that the camp director is now become a total recluse and is living all alone in the cabin because apparently they didn't realize it when they founded Camp Rock, but the land was cursed.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, because one day they were outside practicing their terrible choreography with their not-so-glossy lip gloss on, and this man in a hockey mask with a machete came up out of the lake. This is a totally original concept that has never happened in a film before, and he just starts going bananas on the camp. He's tearing stuff up. He's cutting off heads. This is definitely still a Disney movie. Disney movies have these things. I've checked.
Extensively clear. It's all fake blood.
So it's needless okay. to say that they don't want to keep doing the camp because it's probably going to look kind of bad on their resumes if they have a camp where people come to get murdered.
I would say so, yeah.
Mitchie decides to try to bring the magic back to Camp Rock. So she calls up all of her old friends who used to go to camp, and she brings them all back together, doesn't tell them about the murder stuff. She and her mom and the camp director, through a montage of very upbeat Disney movie-ish sounding music, they fix up the camp so nobody knows that there's anything going on. They show up, they try to have the camp as usual, and then slowly, one at a time, the campers start getting killed by the machete guy who definitely doesn't have a name that has never been in a movie before. Until eventually, Mitchie finds out that it's the power of rock that is going to break the curse and change his heart, and everything is fine. So they have the big final jam concert, whatever the hell it is, at the end of the movie, and Jason, or whoever he is, because he doesn't have a name, this is a very original character, he is suddenly blasted apart by the magic of rock, and everything is fine, and the campers come back to life, and the camp is completely restored. And then, because I've decided M. Night Shyamalan is going to come in to guest direct Camp Rock 2, Midgey wakes up in bed at home, and turns out this whole thing was just an anxiety dream.
I mean, honestly, that's kind of better
you gave
than the
me
actual
you know what? Actual plot. You gave me Camp Rock 2 and told me to rewrite it however I want. You knew exactly what kind of movie this was going to be.
I am very pleased with that. This is what I wanted, Jeff. I wanted you to go off on like a crazy tangent and to just write a ridiculous movie. And I honestly, this plot line is better than the actual Camp Rock 2 plot line. Because as you said at the beginning of your movie script, every Disney movie is kind of the same, and pretty much the same thing. A lot of very similar things happen in Camp Rock 1 that happened in Camp Rock 2. There's just more, there's another camp that's introduced. And it's a battle of the camps. And you forgot the Jonas Brothers, though. They should have been in your script somewhere.
Oh, I did that thing they also do in Disney movies where the first movie has like a major star in it and them being in the movie is like a huge turning point for it. But then when they read the comment section online of how some people are reacting to the movie, they decide they don't ever want to do that ever again. So when their agent comes around with the script for the sequel, they're like, no.
No, thank you. Yeah, that makes sense. Unfortunately, the Jonas Brothers said yes to Camp Rock 2. So,
of course they did.
Have you ever seen Jonas the Show?
I think we both know the answer to that.
Oh, they also said yes to doing a Jonas Brothers TV show, which birthed the pizza song.
Every pop star who gets their start at that age either got their start from a TV show or agreed to do a TV show about themselves.
I'm going to have to share the pizza song with you, Jeff, later, because wow, your mind will be blown when you hear the Jonas Brothers show specific Pizza Girl song.
Pass.
It's very short. It's not a long song.
Pass.
So listeners, next episode we will be starting the book Siege and Storm, which is our next book in the Shadow and Bone trilogy. And my question to all of you is, how many chapters do you think it will take for the Darkling to find Alina? Maybe just make a note to yourself, send us a DM, and we will see how long it takes for him to find her.
So for our next episode, as Juliana said, we are going to be starting book 2 of the Shadow and Bone trilogy, Siege and Storm, and we will be talking about Before and chapters 1 and 2. So if you would like to prepare for our discussion ahead of time, go ahead and read those chapters. But if you are unable to, for whatever reason, we will have chapter summaries for you.
And if you'd like to get in contact with us here on the pod, you can listen to us where all pods are cast. And we are also over on YouTube at Into the Fold Podcast.
And if you'd like to join in our community of listeners who engage with the show and give us plenty more to talk about outside the books, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Into the Fold Pod.
And you can also send us a lovely email, just like Undine did, to intothefoldpod@gmail.com.
And if you'd like to do something to help us out, we would really appreciate it if you would take a moment to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen so that we can share your thoughts here on the show.
And if you'd like to do us a solid, you can tell people you know about this show, because that's the best way that podcasts are shared and grow is through word of mouth. So until next time.
We'll see you in the fold. We will see you. Extravaganza!
Oh, and yes.
Also, bless your heart, once again, you had written that King of Scars won the Goodreads Award. And I'm like, no, that happened already. Leigh Bardugo, was this an email that she sent out?
Okay, this is like, what, 15 episodes in and you still don't know what I want, or you're refusing to do it.
Oh my god.
I ask you every time, and how do you not know what I want, Jeff? I say,
well, sometimes it's just nice to be asked, and in some cases, all the times, it is nice to be asked.
Dearest Jeffrey, will you please sing the new song for me? Love, no. Juliana. Hugs and kisses.
No. No. I will not.
I besmirch your family name.
I tell you what, I will do it for Undine. We'll get to Undine in a minute, but I will do it for them today.
Okay, let's
dedicate this. I do it for you
this.
All the time. This one is for Undine, okay?
Undine, this one goes out to you!
Okay.
And Jeff is getting rid of that, okay? I'm reading the next thing.
She doesn't
Yay. Or would you like me to start off and then you can read the next section? Because I just
I'll
did a lot
start.
Of reading.
You know, I'll tell you what. I'll start and why don't you reteach yourself how to take a breath, because I'm pretty sure for the last 10 minutes you haven't done that.
No.
Right. I'm gonna get to it.
Okay. Go for it.
So
you
Undine,
have to include Douche Canoe.
I'm getting there.
Okay. Asmal, I am sticking my tongue out at Jeff and being like, la, la, la.
Please don't do that.
It's iconic. I'm telling
you. I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass.
I fell in love with the
pizza. I told you not to do it.
Girl, and now
you're still doing
it.
I
eat pizza every day.
I was very specific that I didn't want this, and it's happening.